With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start it up. That would be your Tuesday right here on B&E. Ty is here as well. And we are getting you through the latest ice apocalypse in the ATX in Central Texas. Not to be taken lightly, without a doubt, the next 2 days today. And I think tomorrow is going to be worse, and it's already pretty hairy out there on the highways and byways, Buck.
Got my Revenant jacket. Got it on today.
Ty and I were just talking at the break, because you're off the rest of the week. You're going to be out the Wednesday through Friday.
I'll be going from the bedroom to the kitchen.
Taking a few days, which is good here at the start of February. So Ty and I are trying to figure out, because tomorrow maybe a little tougher to get here than it was this morning, because I got up this morning at 4 normal time, 4:10.
Yeah, Ty needs to go ahead and get that sleeping bag this afternoon and bring it back.
And I checked the Twitter machine right before I left, and I can always go to Austin Travis County EMS, and they had reported when I was getting in the car at 4:30 that overpasses were going to be iced over. So, as I said, I just stayed on the feeder road. I did 35, but then feeder road west and was fine. There were little slick areas, but you could tell, Buck, as traffic picked up, that people were going to be hitting these roads, and they were iced over. And if you weren't paying attention, you're going to hit the brakes, and there's going to be no stopping. And I think that's what we're seeing out there this morning. So please, please be careful.
Yes, we come in for the people.
We're here for the people. We're here for the people. And we'll be here tomorrow some way, somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got stuff. We got stuff. And you need to lock it in on your Horn app and on your smart speaker. And hopefully you're not driving around in your car if you are. How about this? Our man Tom said, rode my bike into work this morning. 7 invigorating miles. Tom, what the hell are you doing? I mean, it's 30 degrees outside. Rode his bike. Invigorating. It's like taking one of those cold baths.
And some of you will go from the bedroom to the kitchen, from the kitchen back to the bedroom. Or you can watch TV today. Catch up on all your TV that you haven't seen.
This might be a binge day.
Yes.
This might be a binge-watching day. Catch up. So we'll take your suggestions on great binge-worthy shows that you need to be watching, including, I would recommend right now, just the George and Tammy Showtime.
There you go.
That was on George Jones and Tammy Wynette. I thought that was really good. It's only 7 episodes. You'd be done with that by lunchtime. But keep it locked right here.
About the Cougars of Copper's Cove.
Is that I haven't seen that yet. Cougar Canyon?
Cougar Canyon.
Ty, have you done your work and started to watch MILF Manor yet?
Not yet. That could be done today, though.
Well.
MILF Manor.
Yeah, man. And right on time, it's National Hot Chocolate Day today.
Is it really?
National Hot Chocolate Today.
And you know what? I am not a hot chocolate. Just give me a hot cup of Java. That's it for me.
Me too. Coffee, I mean, chocolate. Hot chocolate is one of the things that sounds great, and then you, especially if it's way too sweet, you're like, but if hot, because when I was a kid, I'm such a suburban white kid, I would take just regular milk, heat it up, and then I would just put like the quick mix in it.
Quick in it?
Yeah, and I love that. It's just like warmed up chocolate milk. Pretty darn good.
I just never was a chocolate milk drinker. You know, my stomach wasn't right from the get-go.
Oh, well.
My old man was had something in his stuff that just didn't.
Did you ever have that, the powdered quick that you'd take a spoonful
of? Course.
Oh, man,
yeah.
I love that stuff.
Cold, I love the strawberry warm. Quick, even.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was the treat if that ever showed up in the pantry.
But regular chocolate milk just never, there's no forms of chocolate milk that I really, really enjoyed. You know, just here's a bottle of chocolate milk. Get to it. No thanks.
Hey, let's get to the headlines. Trending topics included a big win for the Horns last night at the Mood. UBO Business Services brings you the top stories, including the Longhorns Hoop Squad. First team in the Big 12 to 7 wins as they got the win last night. And Boy, the Baylor Bears have certainly been a nemesis over the last several years. Not last night. Sir Jabari Rice, 21 points. Timmy Allen added 18 to lead Texas to a 76-71 win over the 11th-ranked Bears. That breaks the Baylor six-game win streak. And as we said, improves the Longhorns to 7-2 now. Timmy Allen, excellent on both ends. Sir Jabari Rice, really the key factor in the game, posted his 21 points on just 7 shots in 24 minutes on the floor, nailed 4 of 5 threes, hit 7 of 8 from the foul line for head coach Rodney Terry.
Really proud of the guys tonight, Craig. We came in, came back off of one day prep, and I really challenged the guys. You know, as we finish up January here, January is the grind. Now, guys have really embraced the grind all month, but we needed to finish this off, and we needed to continue to try to improve defensively.
Well, and they did help the Baylor Bears to 71 and really played good perimeter defense in that second half as they get the win, improved 18-4 overall. They're going to now head to Kansas and spend a few days in the Sunflower State. 2 games, Kansas State on Saturday afternoon. Then they'll take the 80-mile trip to Lawrence for Big Monday at Fog Allen Fieldhouse next Monday night against 8th-ranked Kansas. Speaking of those two, KU will play Kansas State tonight in the Big 12 game of the night in Lawrence. So as I mentioned, Texas now the first team to 7 wins. Looked like Iowa State was going to be joining them at the 7-win mark last night, but Texas Tech out in Lubbock rallied from 23 down to beat the Cyclones in overtime, 80-77. What a rally, what a win. That's the first Texas Tech win in Big 12 play. Texas win, meanwhile, back into the AP Top 25 this week. After posting back-to-back wins last week, they're headed to Morgantown Wednesday night to face West Virginia. Big day in Big 12 football, as we mentioned. The much-anticipated release of the 2023 football schedule coming out at 1 o'clock this afternoon. It will feature the 4 new schools added to the current 10 with BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Central Florida rolling into the conference. In NFL news, after parting ways with the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, it didn't take long for Kellen Moore to find a new gig. The offensive coordinator, less than 24 hours after leaving Dallas, the LA Chargers announced they have hired the 34-year-old to call plays for them. Cowboys have parted ways with their entire offensive staff from this past season at this point. Widely expected head coach Mike McCarthy will assume the play-calling duties there. In San Francisco, worst fears realized for Niners rookie quarterback Brock Purdy. MRI reveals that he suffered a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow during the first quarter of Sunday's NFC Championship game. He will require surgery. Will be out at least 6 months there. And what a night in the NBA for Luka Doncic. Back in the lineup and poured in 53 as the Pistons, the Mavericks rallied to beat the Pistons and get the victory there. It's his 5th 50-point game of his young career. 4 have come this season. Also, the Spurs got walloped by Washington last night, 127-106. That's noteworthy because the Spurs had beaten Washington 22 consecutive times until last night.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Yes, sir. I mean, Rice got me last night. I mean, I had to go sit the bench. You know, I try to cover him when I'm watching TV, his pump fakes. Well, I was on the bench with 3 fouls, E, before half.
You know what it is?
I didn't get back. I'm not falling for this one. I'm not. Oh, no, I just got him all over the arm. I'm gonna get that shot. I'm gonna time it up and block his shot. I had 3 fouls last night before half. I had to go sit down.
Used to call Kevin Durant, and I think maybe they still do, the Slim Reaper. That's who Jabari Rice is for me. He's the Slim Reaper, man. He plays a below the net rim game. He doesn't. I mean, even the pump fake, he's not jumping. You know, he's not.
No, it's just the ball goes up. He uses the ball.
It's almost like he's hypnotizing you with the ball fake. Man, I can't say enough how good he
was last night. Yeah, I had 3 fouls before half on him last night, just sitting there.
Well,
easily. Because what I try to do is before he takes that ball up, I'm trying to strip that ball on the way up. Listen, since he sends it up with him.
He was the key last night. Timmy Allen, I thought, was really, really big. And you mentioned if Timmy Allen doesn't score 15 or more, they're going to have a hard time. And he did. He had 18. But again, that's in 35 minutes on the floor. Jabari Rice is only on the floor 24 minutes, pumped in 21 points, grabbed 6 rebounds. And this is what I love about Jabari, Buck. He only took 7 shots. I mean, he's not a volume shooter. Tyrese Hunter was the volume shooter.
Yeah, keep shooting, Tyrese. Keep getting shoot right out of this slump. They need it.
And Tyrese kept getting wide open looks, and he just wouldn't knock him down. And then Jabari came in and went 4 for 5 from the 3-point line in that second half, and just hit really, really big shots when it felt like Baylor was making a run. And Texas, I thought, controlled the game, and there were times where it felt like they should be up more, and they weren't. And then, because Baylor is a 3-point shooting team, and that's how they live from the perimeter, and they're going to live by it and die by it. Texas won the game because Jabari Rice was great in the second half, and after shooting 40% from 3 in the first half, Texas held them to 18% from 3-point land in the second half, and the Longhorns get the victory. For sure. So we got Texas hoops. I was also keeping an eye on that Luka Doncic game last night. Ty, you're a Mavericks fan. This game was unbelievable because I was looking at the box score. I wasn't watching the game. I was looking at the box score, and there was one point in the fourth quarter where Luka Doncic had 46 points, and no other Maverick was in double figures. No other Maverick was in double figures. And I'm thinking, who plays with this guy? I mean, can someone help the guy out? He's been hurt. He's just coming back off his ankle. And can y'all help him out? Finally, Spencer Dinwiddie got to 12. But that was the second leading scorer. And I know if you score 53 of the 111, that's half the points. But someone's got to help this guy out in Dallas. I mean, he's got no help.
They better come and get the ball because he's not giving it up to anybody.
Yeah, they only had 5 assists last night. But Luka, what do we make of that? It almost feels like Cuban hasn't put enough people around this guy. I know, again, if he scores half your points, but why does he have to score half your points? He's a good distributor and assist guy. It almost feels like he's out there by himself sometimes. I know Dinwiddie's not 100%. Tim Hardaway's not 100% right now health-wise. But they're just – he is must-see TV, but they just don't feel like a team at TY that can be a real threat in the Western Conference because there's just not a second star.
Yeah, I mean, and there's been reports that Luka's, you know, growing – his frustrations are growing with Mark Cuban and the rest of the front office with their inability to get him a second star. Christian Woods looked good at times this year, but he's, you know, inconsistent. And
is he hurt now?
He didn't play last night. He has like a thumb injury or something. I mean, nothing too concerning. But, it's hard to watch this team. You know, they lose. I'm surprised they didn't lose last night. They lose.
Well, they're losing most of the game. They're losing most of the game to the Pistons. And that's what I was watching is that Doncic was scoring all the points, and then they're losing to the Pistons, who are not a good team. They've got 13 wins this year. And then they turned it on, and Dinwiddie helped them out a little bit in the fourth quarter. But, frustrating. And that's interesting because I had heard the same thing, that Luka growing frustrated. Because, you know, the NBA trade deadline is coming up, you know, the All-Star break and then the trade deadline. And can the Mavericks
– they don't have any assets, though, to trade is the issue.
I know. And, you know, we've compared it to LeBron James, that LeBron James, I say, did 7 years, almost like he was in prison, but he played 7 years in Cleveland, and they couldn't put the second and third superstar or star around him it takes to go win a championship and win in a conference like the West. And he, when he had his opportunity, said, all right, well, then I'll go to South Beach and play and win championships with the Heatles.
Oh, the little guy my own team. From Oklahoma that's with Atlanta eventually will be with him.
Trae Young?
Because he'll be done. Why?
That would be the worst defensive team of all time.
All time.
They're very close right now.
Well, he's not much of a
defensive. And Trae Young is going to want out of Atlanta eventually. I mean, he's going to want
to. I think that he already does. But
I don't
think that pairing would work very well.
Well, Trae Young is – that was part of the draft night trade, right? I mean, those guys –
They got traded for each other.
For each other, mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
So that would be the irony of it for sure. All right, let's dive into your coach's corner here at almost 7:15. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
All right, your first coaching order comes from the Austin Fire Department on Twitter. It says, advise motorists not to get out of their vehicle if involved in a collision on ice. Safest place is the protection of your car until first responders arrive.
Absolutely.
So
the second is, how did Dak Prescott get the entire offensive staff fired?
Because he played poorly against all the 49ers.
All of them got fired. Is the tight ends coach still there?
No, they don't have a remaining offensive staff member. And, I was gone last week when that was all going down, and, you know, Joe Philbin and Skip Pete and all those guys were let go, and I'm like, wow.
I mean, old-ass Skip Pete is like thinking, what did I do?
I think all of them
Tony Pollard's
did.
Now pro bowler, and what do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do with this other guy, this Zeke dude?
Yeah, you're the one paying him a lot. He's not any good, lad. Nothing left in Zeke. Yeah, this feels like one of those, we got to do something. Because we can't get over the divisional hump. We know the Cowboys back-to-back years won 12 games. You know, they won the division the first time.
Dude,
and then
those
last year,
all bad coaches now.
No, it's not. Well, but look, let's be honest. Let's go back to February and into March and into April when on this show we continually said, hey, listen, you were ahead of the Eagles, but what the Eagles are doing is they're pushing past you right now, Jerry. You're trading players like Amari Cooper. They're acquiring a player like A.J. Brown. They're fixing their holes, and then they went out and had a great draft, and they're putting weapons around their young quarterback in Jalen Hurts. You're not.
Fixing their defense. Yeah, you're right.
They're adding to their defense, which was a problem for them. And I don't say I told you so, but guess what's come to fruition this year? The Eagles became the prohibitive favorites to win the division, which they did. And despite the fact that the Cowboys won 12 games again, they lost the division by a game, two games to the Eagles, who are now in the Super Bowl. This whole thing for the Cowboys, to me, started last February and into March in the offseason, because I don't think the Cowboys had a strong offseason aside from drafting Tyler Smith. I thought that was a nice draft pick for them. Other than that, they didn't do much. They re-signed some key guys like Jayron Kearse and got Dalton Schultz franchised and did some of that stuff. But the Eagles clearly passed them in the talent level, and it's shown up on the football field. Well, now here you are coming in off the heels of the bad offseason, or the not great offseason, and the Eagles have passed you. You again play the 49ers in the playoffs, and again your highly paid quarterback doesn't perform. Even though your offense, as you're talking about, Buck, scored more points than any team in the league, not named the Chiefs. You scored more points than any.
With a patched up offensive line.
So your coaching staff, with what is there, scored more points, and you got to put defensive points in there too. But the Cowboys didn't have nearly as many of those as they did a year ago. So the offense was good, productive, one of the best in the history of the organization. And then you get to the biggest game of the year, and again, the quarterback doesn't perform, so you fire the whole coaching staff.
And Zeke made $12 million this year, just hanging out.
That doesn't make sense to me, but that's why I say it feels like it's just we got to do something. We got to change the voice.
So fire them all.
And so when you say Dak Prescott got them all fired, I mean, that's Dak's a nice guy. I love his, you know, sofa commercials that he does. He's the sofa king now, but yeah. Man, I'm sure those coaches are going, what do?
We got to pick up and go now.
I mean, if you're the receivers coach, you're like, well, you traded Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup was hurt.
You paid him all that money.
You're giving me Noah Brown, Jalen Tolbert you drafted, who looks like a bust. And, yes, CeeDee Lamb played like an all-pro this year, which, you know, but again, I don't, you know, the tight
end. Oh, it's all the setup. Like I said, this is the last stop on the bus stop for Mike McCarthy.
No,
now
Mike,
you're going to earn
says,
your money. You're going to start calling plays.
Coach Mack says he wants, Jerry wants him to coach as long as Tom Landry. That's what he said this past weekend. Long as Tom Landry. So, I think to your point of the setup, it's something we talked about yesterday.
It's the setup.
He gets to hire this staff now. Because remember, when Mike McCarthy was hired here in our coach's corner, the idea was he was coming in to be the quarterback whisperer to Dak Prescott. We know that didn't happen. Kellen Moore was kept. I think that's maybe surprised Jerry Jones a little bit, that Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy wanted to keep Kellen Moore. And I don't know if where Jerry was on that. They thought highly of Kellen Moore after Jason Garrett was fired.
Well, Mike McCarthy said, well, guess what? Dak Prescott isn't Aaron Rodgers. Sorry.
No, he's not. But let's remember Mike McCarthy, when asked pretty clearly at his opening press conference a couple of years ago, do you think Dak Prescott is a championship-winning quarterback? Yeah, you see, does he have that in him? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? Well, that's your job then, is to get him to reach that ceiling. And this year, he led the NFL in interceptions per game played. And again, in the biggest moment against the team you got to be able to beat. And because it's not like if you get there next year, you're going to be playing a chump.
Oh, no.
You're going to be playing a great team when you get to the divisional round of the playoffs. They probably have a really good defense. Your quarterback has to be able to make plays. Your quarterback has to be able to move you down the field and win games for you. And he's not. Is that the coach's fault? Obviously, that's what the Joneses feel. That's the coaching staff didn't do enough to win that 49ers game to move into the championship round of the NFC conference. And
maybe
so,
he just thinks the more coaches you fire, the better off they're going to be. Really?
Well, and it does put it on Mike McCarthy. He is now going to be calling plays. He's going to go out and hire this new staff. Because, again, a lot of the offensive staff was already here. Kellen Moore was already here. And so they just kept it. This is, I think, them
this
going,
is what they do anyway.
Going clean slate. And you got to do something. And then Jerry's got to do, and Steven have to do better in the front office. You can't let the Eagles have that. Because, again, and this isn't all about the Cowboys. I thought if you go back to grade what happened from when league business opened in March through the draft,
oh.
I don't think there was a team that had a better offseason than Philadelphia as far as acquisitions, draft, the A.J. Brown trade on draft night. They did a great job. And if you consider this for Philadelphia, Buck, on draft night when they traded their first-round pick to get A.J. Brown, they then acquired the Saints' first-round pick for this draft coming up. Because the Saints wanted to come up to draft Chris Olave, the great receiver out of Ohio State. So the Eagles not only traded their first-round pick to get A.J. Brown, they also regained a first-round pick for this year. And that Saints pick is a top 15 pick. So the Eagles have a chance to double back this year and add another piece to their offense or their defense.
Miles Sanders doesn't take a if Miles Sanders is looking for a blockbuster deal, he may be, you know what, out of luck.
Yeah, they'll let him go because they'll draft somebody there. Or they'll draft him in the second round. I mean, you know how much, you know, the guy that mentioned Zeke made $12.3 million. Do you know how much the Philadelphia Eagles paid their three running backs this year combined? $6 million. $6 million for three running backs who were more productive than Zeke. And then Pollard's a good player, but now you got to pay Pollard. So yes, that becomes your problem. But that's the point. This, you know, the Zeke thing is a 4-year or 3-year old mistake, because the league would show you that you don't pay, you can pay three running backs $6 million, which is nothing, and you get great production from Kenneth Gainwell and Miles Sanders and Boston Scott, and you can win football games with that and go to the Super Bowl with that. Cowboys decided they wanted to invest big dollars in an aging running back, and now they've invested in a quarterback at the elite level, who I don't think is an elite player. And in two occasions in playoff games, the last 2 years have shown you, in the biggest of moments, Dak Prescott is not an elite player. And now it's cost six good coaches their gigs. And now it's on Big Mac.
Yeah, like I said, it's the setup for Sean Payton. He and Jerry. Jerry's already told him, these jobs, you don't want these jobs. There's nothing good, but you can have this one next year because I'm setting this dude up to fail, or I believe he's going to fail anyway.
I do like that. And I know Cowboys fans don't want to hear, well, let's set this guy up to fail so then we can hire Sean Payton. They would just say, well, why don't we just hire Sean Payton right now? Let's go get him. But it costs you a lot to get Sean Payton right now. The Houston Texans found
draft,
that out.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to give up a lot of draft capital to acquire the rights to hire Sean Payton from the Saints. So,
whereas for the 49ers, they're still ready to go. Whether Brock Purdy plays or not, this is an opportunity for Tom Brady to go in there, like I said yesterday, for a year or two. Because if Tom Brady is a winner – and he wins with that kind of offense going on, that dude is not quitting after he wins again. Everybody thinks, oh, he'll play one more year and then quit. I don't believe that for 1 second. If he went to the 49ers and won a Super Bowl, do you think Tom Brady would leave then?
Ty,
do you think he would say, okay, see you later, I'm going to go into the sunset, team is so good, I can win a couple more here?
I'm just going to say what Tom Brady said to Jim Gray. Jim, if I bleeping knew, I would bleeping tell you. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But so I don't know what Brady's going to do.
What do you think, Raiders or that place? Forget the Raiders. Forget Vegas.
It's Josh McDaniel. System he knows.
Yeah, San Francisco.
And it's Vegas. He can rent out the
favorite team.
The top floor of the Bellagio. You know, the Bellagio is like so close to the football stadium. It's crazy. The Mandalay Bay is actually the closest. But, man, you can stay at the Bellagio. Have you been up at the top of the Bellagio?
Yes.
Did you ever see that Hangover movie? You ever
man.
See the Hangover? How about that, T.Y.? Tom Brady living in that Mike Tyson Tiger Suite.
Yeah, you can just drink
moo-moo
juice all day long.
I think that's his move. I think Vegas.
I think that's the move.
Still think Vegas is?
Have you been there since they built the football stadium?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to. I know he pretends he wants to play till he's 50, but he wants to go somewhere where he can win and play two years and not really make it to the real 50. He can make it to 48. But if he doesn't win in – he can win in San Francisco.
I mean, really,
win.
Look, and maybe you're right on this, that maybe – it seemed like Vegas, but now with the Brock Purdy injury, the uncertainty at quarterback that they have, that maybe Brady...
How much you want, Tom? How much you need?
Yeah, maybe Brady looks at it, and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch get together and say, hey, look, we got to take advantage of this window. Because as we say, this Eagles team's not getting any worse. And we need to be able to beat them, and maybe Tom Brady is the answer. And you're right, Tom Brady on the Niners would look a lot like that Buccaneers team with
great
players everywhere who just need the right quarterback to get him over the hump. And
if he wins once there, he's not going to then say, I'm retiring. He won't.
Maybe he got his hometown. Maybe he wins one there, rides off into the sunset, and Brock Purdy's the quarterback of the future.
Or wins two, and Brock Purdy's still the quarterback of the future.
One would be good, because that's back in where he grew up rooting for Joe Montana. But you're right, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows what Tom Brady's going
to do. He
truly
is trying to get to be 50 and play.
Well, remember last year he retired. Last year he was trying to get himself to Miami.
He was trying to get rid of Giselle and the kids then.
Well, he was trying to get himself to the Miami Dolphins last year as part of the ownership, even though he was under contract to the Buccaneers, which led to tampering charges big time for the Dolphins. But then he retired.
That's right, because then Giselle was messing around with
and then he came back.
With Jose or whoever she was hanging out with.
Well, I think
the gardener or whatever.
I think Giselle got frustrated because she thought he was going to retire, and he did not. And he was playing games behind her back, trying to get to Miami. Hey, you retired, Tom. What
about
are you
this?
Doing?
What are you doing in Miami? What's this
Why are
Miami
you hanging
thing?
Out down in Miami? Why are you trying to get to Miami? You said we're not playing anymore. Well, honey, what if I could play in Miami? That's where we want to live. Then I could play there. No, she said, adios.
I'm out.
Adios. We'll be back. B&E with you. Be careful out there. Don Miller coming with the latest on the traffic. Stay off the highways, the roads, if you don't have to be out there. If you do, be very, very safe, and just be planning to take a while to get where you're getting, and you'll get there. It's B&E on the Horn.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that's Laverne and Shirley, you know that. And I hate to see the passing of Cindy Williams.
Yes.
Cindy Williams, who played Shirley on Laverne and Shirley. You know, the story behind that show, Cindy Williams and Laverne.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, they're based in Milwaukee. Well, it was a spinoff of Happy Days. Happy Days was obviously the mothership there. Didn't they also make a spinoff, Joni and Chachi?
Mm-hmm.
Joni and did Fonzie get his own?
Fonzie had his own gig, too.
Okay.
LeBron James.
Laverne.
By the way, can we? I'm going to tell Zay today he cannot be singing like that.
Well, who?
Zay. His you know, the spot that they're doing with him singing.
With the promo?
The promo, yeah. He wants to sound like Big Daddy Kane, but he sounds like Bobby Blue Bland or the lead singer from Silk.
Oh, man.
I'll let him know today.
Well, Cindy Williams passed away. She was 75, brief illness. And, of course, she was one of the stars, Laverne and Shirley.
Oh,
Penny,
yes.
Penny Marshall
Penny
was
Marshall,
the other.
Yes.
You know, Gary Marshall was the creator of Happy Days, and that's Penny Marshall's father. And Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams were actually writing for the show, Happy Days. And they were funny, and so they said, let's give these two their show. And that became Laverne and Shirley, which ran for pretty long while, didn't it?
It did, yes.
Yeah. Penny Marshall already has passed away 5 years ago or so. But that's where we are this morning. We're keeping you off the highways.
Penny Marshall was the blonde, correct?
Penny Marshall was the taller one, yes. Looked like a Laverne. Shirley looked like a Shirley.
Like a little Shirley.
Yeah.
Petite little
Didn't they
Shirley.
Work at the brewery?
Oh, yeah, they worked at
Lenny
the brewery.
Lenny and Squiggy.
Lenny and Squiggy.
You little weasel. Hey, we talked to today, and looks like the next several days are going to be good binge-watching. I would say happy birthday to our friend Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan has a birthday today. Big Tex. Today might be a good day to go over and watch Facing Nolan, the great Nolan Ryan documentary, if you have not seen it. And your kids are out of school, and you're not going to work, and you're looking for something to watch. I highly recommend.
Watch it with the kids.
Oh, man, absolutely. Because as we know, it's a baseball story, but it's really a love story. He and his wife and Ruth and the kids, and so good. That'd be a good 2 hours to pass. And on his birthday today, the great Nolan Ryan, go ahead and make that a priority over the next couple of days to watch that. Happy birthday, Nolan. The best. This is Zay Can Sing for Us. Great energy from Zay. This says Gary Marshall was Penny Marshall's older brother. Okay, thank you for that. I thought it was her dad. No, older brother of Penny Marshall was Gary Marshall. Did you like Happy Days?
I did. I liked all of those. I liked the Fonzarelli. I mean, I liked all of those at that time.
Okay, I did too. Actually, you're older than me, but I was very young when those shows were coming online.
So I used to watch Gilligan's Island. I watched all that madness.
Oh, me too. Mm-hmm. I probably saw mostly Gilligan's Island in reruns when I was a kid on syndication, but, you know. All right.
I go all the way back to as Gilligan as Maynard G. Krebs back in the day. Craig Way would know all those.
All right, so I know Laverne and Shirley where you stand. Where would you be on Gilligan's Island? What was it, the redhead and the brunette?
The redhead.
Come on.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on, you're stuck on an island?
Ginger.
Ginger or Marianne?
Ginger.
Every time?
Every time.
Twice on Sunday?
All day.
Long and tall, that ain't all?
Sleeps in the kitchen with her feet in the hall, yeah, for
okay.
sure.
Okay. So we'll take your thoughts on that front. Also, what are binge-worthy programs to see today would be a very fair question because it's going to be lockdown. I can report this, Buck, looking at the digital, my favorite website, Weather Underground.
This weather is going to be cold for a while.
Next 3 days are going to be a rough one. The weekend looks great. weekend looks great. So you need a couple days off from work, and potentially your kids are out of school, and then, you know, you get the weekend. It looks like the weekend weather is going to be great. But stay off the highways and byways today, Buck. All right, so here's the latest. We'll talk Texas basketball coming up. Longhorns with a really big win at the Moody Center last night. I thought it wasn't perfect because Marcus Carr didn't have a great night. Tyrese Hunter didn't shoot the ball well. But, man, the energy you got from Dylan Mitchell, I thought, was especially coming out of the half, was incredible. Timmy Allen was solid the whole time. And then, Jabari Rice, as we say, just phenomenal last night.
Yeah, their bench scoring. He's doing something for the bench scoring. That was fantastic. Again.
What a transfer he's been for them. Because on a night where your two best guards, or reportedly best guards, Tyrese Hunter and Marcus Carr, played 62 minutes and went 7 for 25, and didn't go to the – that's the other thing. They didn't go to the foul line one time. Marcus Carr, Tyrese Hunter, because they were settling for jump shots – in his 24 minutes, Jabari Rice went to the foul line eight times.
But wasn't Marcus getting his shot in the paint? He was still driving.
He only scored 5 points. Now, let me say this for Marcus Carr. His floater, his bucket, late in the game was the biggest shot of the game. It was the biggest shot of the game. It was when Baylor was right there within one possession, and he needed a big bucket, and they gave it to Marcus Carr, and he delivered in a big way. But for the entirety of the 40 minutes, Jabari Rice was the key factor.
I mean, and Timmy in the paint was just fantastic. Again,
the mid-range, baby.
Yeah, I'm not down with his corner shots when he's trying to run floaters from the corner. But
I like him facilitating the offense, like being the point guard, essentially. Yeah. I really like that from him. And I thought, here's what I really thought, that this is what I would say, watching Timmy Allen early, it felt like he had a great energy to him.
Yes.
And it felt like Tyrese Hunter kept shooting the ball. I'm like, get it back to Timmy. Timmy's got a great feel for this game right now. And Tyrese kept shooting it, man. He was letting it. Now, again, they weren't bad shots. I mean, they were open looks. But if you don't have it, get it back to Tim. He had that look in his eye like he was ready to go score. And by the time they went back to him, he might have cooled off a little bit. But that's when Jabari Rice picked it up and ran with it. So good stuff. All right, Buck. Also on the Big 12, the schedule releases today. That's going to come at 1 o'clock for the football schedule.
Yeah, you got some stuff, and you need to tell me.
Well, we're going to talk to Jerry Hamilton coming up from On3 Sports. We'll talk with him about some football and some basketball in the next hour. But... so the schedule's been done for a while. They've been working on Texas and Oklahoma's agreement out of the Big 12 by 2024, but that's not done yet, so they're going to go ahead and release the schedule today. They were hoping to be able to put it all out at once and just make it a clean announcement. But so the schedule will come out. Texas is going to add all the schools. The remaining 10 are going to play, at least I know this from Texas. Texas is going to play two of the new schools. Remember the four new schools. Texas is going to add two of the four. One at home, one on the road. And I think the road trip's not going to be a long one. I'll say that. You could probably do some judgment on that. It's not going to be a very long road trip, the road one. And the home game, it's a nice add to the home schedule. And then you're going to lose two existing games. Like teams you normally have played in the 10 teams round robin, you're going to drop. And you'll find out at 1 o'clock today which two those are. But
they'll keep it within system, so Tech will remain.
I'll just say this.
Tech will remain. TCU will remain.
Yes. They're not going to lose a team not from the state of
Texas.
Bye,
Gundy. Bye-bye. And I'd say farewell to them
anyway.
That's
your opinion.
That's my opinion. Goodbye to that group.
But based on the roster he's got right now, I'd want to play Gundy this year.
No kidding.
I mean, come on.
I'd rather play him than the Texters, but everyone keeps saying, you're afraid of Tech.
No, I think the Texas schools remain. But that's how the schedule will come down. And obviously, once you know it, you know it. We know Texas is already set to play Rice, Alabama, and Wyoming in the non-conference. The Alabama game is in Tuscaloosa, second game of the year. And have you seen, I was talking to a lot of folks who are trying to get hotel rooms in and around Alabama. Oh, my gosh. I'm seeing reports. Have you seen this
guy? We're going to have to go to Tennessee.
Your girlfriend's from the SEC. Like people spending $700 a night to stay like in a Best Western. Like in a comfort
the
inn.
The night's in?
Yeah, for like $750.
They do have a bed up on by the window there, though, you can use as a bed. So,
I mean,
at the day's end.
Have you ever been to a game at Alabama?
The night's in.
I have not.
Have you tried to get to this game?
No, I'm not going to either.
Yeah, it's going to be, you may have to stay in different parts and drive in on game day. Because we also don't have a time on that game, Texas and Alabama. We know this year it was 11 o'clock in the morning. But remember, this is an odd year, 2023. That means ABC gets the first pick. Am I going to be wrong to guess they're going to make that a primetime game?
11? No, we're going to go 2:30?
Seven. Remember, Fox had the first pick of games last year, so they picked, of course, Texas and Alabama, and their big push is the big noon kickoff, so they were going to make that the 11 o'clock game. They're trying to compete with College Game Day with their morning show, and so they're going to they do the big noon thing. ABC, Disney, I think, will have the first pick this year in the odd year, and if they pick, which they will, Texas and Alabama, I think they'll make it a primetimer. That'll be the primetime game. College Game Day will be there, yeah. With Sark back to Alabama, with this roster, with this team, Quinn Ewers, you know, Alabama still needs an offensive and defensive coordinator at this point, by the way.
Keep and an a quarterback.
And a quarterback. Well, they're going to find a quarterback.
Yeah, somebody's coming to school there to play quarterback.
Did you see that Alabama, you know, the National Signing Day is tomorrow, the second and final?
Don't tell me they're still on 15 kids.
I'm going to ask Jerry about this, but that Alabama has like 9 5-stars. Remember A&M set the record for 5 stars last year, but this year Alabama has 9, and they don't even have coordinators. It's all Alabama Saban, and remember when Saban was ripping on Jimbo Fisher last spring, that was at a booster function to try to raise money for their NIL deals at Alabama. Now they have 9 5-stars, and of course lost to Georgia in the national, or actually didn't even make it to the SEC champion.
Y'all need to get a group of people and go on down there and get you a Winnebago and get down there.
Well, that's interesting because like
rolling down
Alabama. Here's the thing: Texas played them off their feet last year and could have won the game here in Austin when Alabama reportedly had their best team ever. Right, this was the best team Nick Saban's ever had with Bryce Young, reigning Heisman Trophy winner Will Anderson. And they came in here, and Texas had every opportunity to win that game. Now Texas is going to Tuscaloosa, and they've got the more veteran roster. They've got Quinn Ewers and everybody back on offense and Jalen Ford back on defense with the additions. Alabama's going to be really talented, but we don't know who's going to be calling plays for them, calling offense or defense. They still have Nick Saban, but, this is an interesting, intriguing matchup. And so keep an eye on who Alabama hires.
They'll get the coaches that Dak got fired. There's some coaches available. Skip Pete can go down there and coach running backs.
Jeez Louise. This says SEC media rights for Alabama, Texas. What's that? SEC media rights for Alabama versus Texas, not Big 12. Okay, so it'll be on CBS. Is that right? Or, ABC has some – I don't know. The TV things are pretty interesting. Pretty interesting right now. But, yeah, keep an eye on that. 1 o'clock today, schedule release. You can anticipate Texas to add 2 teams they haven't been playing and drop 2 teams they haven't
been
playing.
You feel like I'm close with the Gundy thing, bye-bye? Come on.
I can't say.
Come on, why do you mean? You're just, you're not reporting.
I said I wouldn't say.
Come on. Gundy, goodbye.
Not a reporter. But yes, and I will
and Gundy
just say,
doesn't want it. He don't want to play Oklahoma either. They're probably off there.
I don't know what Oklahoma's schedule looks like, but I know that Texas will play Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that one.
And when you add one that's going to be a home game, it's one of the 4 new teams. And then you're going to add a road game.
Or you're on the bicycle. Please, please, not them.
I'm not
everybody,
saying.
Everybody keeps saying.
Not saying.
Why are you scared of them? We want them. Oh, you do?
Yeah, well. And then the road trip game that you will add is not a long one. So be ready for that. We'll be back. B&E on the horn. We'll get that at 1 o'clock. We'll get our hot or not coming with Ty. And as I mentioned, always a great conversation with Jerry Hamilton from Inside Texas and On3 Sports. His thoughts on the Big Texas basketball win last night. They're the first Big 12 team to 7 victories. Also, National Signing Day is tomorrow. Who are the Longhorns still pursuing? And do they have a chance at them? Jerry will let us know coming up on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not.
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
All right, latest update. I-35 is closed northbound near Grand Avenue Parkway because of a crash. That's closed going north. Cars stranded on the ramp from Mopac to 5th Street from ice. And there's a multi-car crash on SH-130 near FM-973. And we've been telling you about it for the last hour plus. The fatality wreck and multi-car crash at Ben White. That I'm assuming that's the flyover, Buck, coming from 35 down to 71 right there at South First Congress area. And just hate to see that. Plus 183A remains closed this morning. And as we've said, it looks like this ice is going to get worse. And I just saw where the National Weather Service has extended the weather warning into Thursday morning. So this thing continues to get worse, it sounds like, and feels like at this point, and it's already pretty bad out on the highways and byways here this morning. We're keeping our eyes on that. Also, Buck, our buddy Woody Englander from the Comfort Crew.
Oh, yeah.
He He texted me and said, hey, I looked for hotels immediately when a game was in, with Alabama. All hotels were booked. Found an Airbnb for $500 right near campus.
There you go.
Had to do it. So somebody said, rent an RV for the Alabama game next September. Take it to Talladega. Set it up. It's not far from Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
Ooh. Said, like, you could be like a NASCAR team right then. Kind of like that. Outside the box thinking. And if you're Ty, you'll just rent like a Ryder truck and sleep in the back of it because it doesn't have any air conditioning. Ty, how's it going at your house with no heat? How'd you sleep last night?
Not too well. not doing too hot right now.
Well, I got to ask you.
You got to be sleepy
as hell. You have a serious girlfriend, correct?
Yes.
And why didn't you just stay at her home that, if you're allowed to do so, that has heat? Good idea.
I don't know. I just wanted to – I thought I could tank through it.
Oh, you did? You thought Thomas the Tank was just going to get it done?
I mean, I did.
Yeah, okay, Thomas.
Had both my dogs in bed with me. I could tell they were cold, too, so I felt bad for them. I didn't want to bring the whole crew over to her little apartment. So.
Oh, the dogs?
Yeah. You know where my dog sleeps? Outside in his big-ass doghouse.
Well, he's got like a he shed.
Oh,
back
he's
there.
Got a monster spot.
Ty, what do you have for us on this last day of January and hot or not, my friend?
Well, Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves came out this weekend interview and said that he eats 21 bags of Cheshire's hot fries. So I had to ask y'all, are you a fan of hot Cheetos or hot fries? Or neither?
Oh, okay, these are kind of like Cheetos. I've never had Cheshire's
fries. Yeah, I'm not a Cheetos. I don't like all that stuff on my fingers. Remember? But
I'm
I will
such
eat
a
some
weird
hot
eater.
Fries.
And I don't like the Cheetos. 21 bags a day?
A week.
A week.
Okay.
And I do send fries back
now. Three a day.
If the fries aren't the way I want them, if I'm in a drive-thru, I'll go back around and say, hey.
Well, these are.
Talk about French fries.
Right, yeah.
Well, Cheetos are like cheese for like Cheetos.
No, I don't. No.
You know what I like?
I don't like puppy Cheetos. I don't like any of that stuff.
I'm one of the weird people that actually likes the baked chips. Like, I like the baked Lays.
Oh, you do?
And I actually like the baked Cheetos. They're good.
Yeah.
I know you won't like them. I don't like it. I mean, because they're supposedly healthier. I don't really think they are.
Really?
But I actually like them. Ruffles, the baked Ruffles. I'm a weirdo fan of baked chips.
I still get those ones in the canister or whatever that is.
I don't like the hot Cheetos or the Cheetos hot Chesters or whatever they're called.
No.
Chester the Molesters.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Be careful out there. Stay off the roads if you don't have to be. We got you covered here. Lock it in on your Horn app and your smart speaker. Jerry Hamilton coming next. With a lot to talk about with our man G, and with the pending National Signing Day tomorrow, the Longhorn big win in the Moody Center last night. We'll get to all of it with Jerry coming on the other side.